I am very joyous today and feeling also a tremendous amount of gratitude to have the opportunity to be in this space and visiting with Hannah DeMuth. Thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate this.
Oh, you are so welcome. I'm so grateful. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to start out the conversation. I've had an opportunity to read some about you, but I don't ever want to assume that by doing that I know anything at all. So what I'd like to do is start a little more general. And if I could ask you what your inner life journey and that how that journey led you to becoming a yoga teacher and ultimately a somatic mentor. I would love to hear what you might say in terms of what all that means to you at a deeper level.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny because I vividly remember going to yoga for the first time during this thing called COVID, allegedly this global pandemic that we all went through a few years ago, and making my way to the yoga mat only because the CrossFit gym that I had gone to for years and years had a partnership and I was working from home, and I thought, what else to do with my time? And so I made it onto my mat, and Jeff, I'll tell you, the first couple of yoga classes, to just be still, to just be lying down, to not have emails or things to do, it was too much. Like, it was so much so that I would get up and leave. Like, I would straight up halfway through the yoga class leave the mat, leave the props, like leave everything, sometimes leave my shoes and just like walk out. And it was too scary for me to be still. I was someone that lived, her life 100 million miles an hour and volunteered and worked and had a partner and was planning a wedding, and busyness was this badge of honor that I used to wear so proudly. And so going to yoga, it was not fun and it was not easy in the beginning. I remember being like, what? You see people like meditating and all peaceful, and that was not my experience. So I say that because now, just a few years later, to be teaching and holding space for people to come back home into their bodies, I was someone that had to first, we heard the term being disassociated, which is out of your body and out of your mind. And I had to first get into my head, and then I was living, just in the monkey mind, as I like to call it. And so now, to learn how to come back into my body and then teach and share these resources and tools with other people so they can come home to themselves. In just a couple of years, had you told me that my first yoga class when I was rolling at the mat up halfway and leaving, I would have said you had lost your marbles. So, but here I am. I mean, man, it's been just a few years since that pandemic, and even just a couple of years. I've been teaching and mentoring now full time about 2 years. And we were jokingly before we hit record talking about time, right? And so just a couple of years later to see this transformation is such a gift.
Yeah, thank you so much. I deeply honor that. And I wanted to, I'm curious, in turn, and I don't want to, there again, I don't want to make any assumptions. It would be very interesting to know, was there ever prior to this, or even in your childhood, as basically as you entered your formative years, was there any exposure to anything? And I always feel weird using words like spiritual or being connected with spirit, or but I'm hoping you'll get the essence of what I'm speaking of there. But I was wondering if there was any part of your earlier life that you maybe had a taste of this or a glimpse of this.
Totally. I was raised very traditional Christian, non-denominational. The church and the school that I went to were the same. And so it was this tiny little bubble, and everybody looked like me, and everybody's parents looked like me. Everyone would look the same. And it was just so interesting because it was a very safe environment. And I had a lot of people that, growing up really loved me dearly. But I also kind of took on this idea of a religion versus a relationship. And really, not until I got older, in traditional Christianity, we talk around the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And really, the Holy Spirit was a concept that I could really connect to for so long, and knowing that there was this spirit, this essence, this sense inside of me that could kind of guide me, that is something that, although now I might not necessarily have complete alignment with traditional capital C church values, the sense of a spirit, right? The spirit of spirit, source being within me has always been something that's really guided me. And as I've continued to get curious around my own, relationship to something greater than us. My spirit has always been that tether. It has always been that source that has just kind of guided me through beautiful ebbs and flows of life and curiosity. And that has been a huge thing for me because whenever we go on, I'll never forget, I jokingly, whenever I quit real estate, ended an engagement, quit everything, and basically did a complete 180. I would jokingly call it a quarter life crisis. And now I'm like, wait, I think that was a spiritual awakening. I think that's how it works. So it's
Yeah.
been huge for me.
Yeah, I love that when you were talking about, not being sure, was it a spiritual awakening? I wonder if in some ways that that is, and there again, I'm just musing out loud with you, if that is a gift, if we actually can experience whatever transformation, whatever evolution. I don't know if this resonates or not, but that
Right.
we really don't know for sure, really, not only what to call it, but what exactly it all means.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and for so long, I wanted control in my life because that was I had control and safety or control and stability. I thought those things were synonymous, which means I thought they were the same. And I realized, oh, I thought if I could just control this situation, or if I could just know with certainty what was going to happen, then it was going to all be okay. And I realized that none of this, or very little of this experience called life, do we really have control over? And when I realized that, that was the first aha. And then the second, I also think from a pretty religious upbringing, is I thought I was bad if something wasn't working out, or if it was something falling apart, or you don't get the client signed, or your business, whatever it was, right? I was just taking it so personal and thinking I was bad or something was wrong with me, and realizing, like, oh, wait, this is just a natural evolution or cycle of life versus something bad that Hannah is or is not doing. That was a huge shift in my spiritual journey, along with just the overall awakening process.
Yeah, I love that. That whole idea of, being kind and gentle with yourself and not coming to too many conclusions about what was going on, and or
Totally.
maybe even to the point of not, I don't know if it was to not need to know necessarily for sure. Or
Totally. Well, and I think just trusting the process and realizing, I think for so long I had been conditioned. And I was also, which my family is amazing and my community was amazing growing up. And it was also very strict and there were rules and there were things that we could and couldn't do. And it was very, just in general, the concept of like left or right, good or bad, right or wrong, on or off. And there was no gray. And as someone, I now I live my life very much in the gray and have lots of
yeah.
opportunities to get curious instead of thinking on or off, left or right. And that's a big step too.
Yeah. Does it almost feel like in some ways, and I'm open to being wrong, it kind of like living without a map
Oh,
or,
well,
yeah.
I think this is, I don't think I'm the first person to come up with this phrase, but just taking the next step. Not even the next right step, but just taking a step. And sometimes, like a day, I love to dance. A dance is sideways and it's backwards and then it's forward and then it's to the right. And then, like, versus just a linear progression, and learning how to dance with life and just take the next step, is, I'm like, I can do that today. I can just take the next step in the next day or week or hour versus thinking I had to have a plan, right? Or had to know the end destination. That helps me. It gave me a lot more inner peace for sure.
Yeah, and I in fact I had a dear teacher, and I'm there again, I'm open to, I don't know if this resonates or not, but this is what's coming up intuitively as you're sharing this. He always, people would ask him, they would talk about how there was sometimes a struggle about, you come to a fork in the road and do I go to the right or do I go to the left? There's got to be some kind of an answer. And I used to love, and I still do, how he would always tell people, when you get to the fork in the road, take it. And I don't know if that means something at all to you. And it made it, yeah, I think it to everybody, it hits a little differently if it hits at all.
Absolutely. Well, it's so funny. A lot of the work that I do is whether it's working with people one-on-one or in a group setting, my mentorship program, it's usually about 3 months. And for the traditional person that works with me has gone to talk therapy and used CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, to logically or consciously understand their triggers and traumas. And they're like, then they come to me and they're like thinking, okay, how many sessions is this going to take? Like, and I'm like, okay, totally hear you. And like, we can sit here and address all your symptoms, 60 minutes at a time, or we can really create a container or a journey to uncover the roots. And that is, totally different, or just one different approach from then most people thinking, in a 55-minute single session, they're gonna just talk and have some, they're like, how many sessions before I'm healed, I'm fixed? And I'm like, okay, you're not broken, so I can't fix you. I can only teach you some tools that just kind of help me save my bacon. So
Yeah, and before I definitely do want to ask you about your journey beginning to do this work, and definitely have some things to ask you about that. Not necessarily, excuse me, sorry. Hold on just a moment here. I think that's the first time that's happened in 7 years, maybe. I think, kind of, yeah. it's kind of like I just, yeah. What I was going to ask you is before, speaking with you about that, and more importantly, hearing from you about that, I wanted to get a sense of what it was like for you, the people close to you in your life, your family, close friends, community that you had, what kind of reactions you received from people as you were undergoing. This transformation and beginning this new journey.
Yeah, it my journey, call it a spiritual awakening, call it a quarter life crisis. I've always known my entire life that I wanted to help people, and I always knew that I had a way, a big gift to be able to be comfortable and to be able to share and to be able to connect to people. And whether that I'm a big sister through Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Oklahoma, and I've, volunteered and supported, kids in countries and gone and visited them, and just like really connecting with people has always been so nourishing. And it's funny, I was before doing somatics and mentoring, I was in real estate. And it was just that was, I went to college, got a marketing degree, and went to school for marketing. And then someone was like, I swear, I got my first real estate job when someone, I was on vacation, and my friend was like, hey, you really love to talk to people. Like, would you be interested in leasing apartments for me? And of course, I'm like, sure. And that just propelled me into almost 8 years in the business. And it was just one of those things where I never had an opportunity, or really never asked myself, like, what does Hannah actually want to do? Or how do I want to help people? What does that look like? I just listened to, what was prescribed to me and told, like, you'd be really good at this. And so I just did it. And it was just really interesting. I remember having, I always call this on paper, everything that I was supposed to have. At that time, I, had an incredible partner. We were getting it, we were engaged. I was working, a good job. I was not, volunteering on all of these nonprofit boards and just like doing everything I was supposed to be doing, and yet just crippled with chronic anxiety and a diagnosis for ADHD, and seeing a therapist weekly, and just wondering, like, I'm in my late 20s being like, I do this forever, like forever, and wondering again, kind of back to I had this negative belief that I was doing something wrong, or I must not be working hard enough or successful enough or, good enough. And it was just so crushing to my spirit and so crushing to my soul. And so when I kind of had these moments of like, I think I want to teach yoga. And surely I can't be the only person struggling with anxiety. Yeah, sure. But maybe somebody else is. And then it was like, I think I'm going to make an Instagram post and ask. And oh my, like, just it kind of was this moment like, surely I can't be the only one struggling. And I say all that to say that's kind of what started this idea of I think I can help people. I think I'm not the only one. I think I have some tools that have helped me that other people could benefit from. And that's where guided meditations and sound healing and my business, High Vibrations, it kind of just all started to like loosely form. And I had a moment where I did have a big awakening and I realized that the life I was created was not for me. And I just couldn't do it anymore. And so I ended up, it was September of 21. I ended up taking a big road trip. Mind you, I don't know if you can see my nails. I've
Oh
never
yeah,
pitched a tent, like pitching a tent, going on a road trip, like camping. That was something, Jeff, that I had done before. But I knew going out west, I'm native, I'm Cherokee, and I knew there was something that the land was calling me to. I knew I had to go out there. I didn't know why. I knew I had to. So I literally packed up my life, quit my job, separated from my partner, and drove all the way through the panhandle of Oklahoma to Colorado and spent all of September going from Oklahoma to Joshua Tree, California, and back. And, had many people calling me, like literally asking if I had quite literally lost my mind. Like, now we don't understand. Why are you doing, and people that love me and care about me and want the best for me and were probably scared that I had made such a drastic, 180. But I think that I am someone that jumps in 2 feet or head first, right? Like just I'm all in. I don't teeter on the edges. And so that experience, the people that loved me and wanted, the best for me. And when you step away from a life that you've created for the last, at that point, almost 30 years, of course you're gonna have some questions or some people raising their eyebrows and some concern. But here we are 4 years later and I've been able to just guide people. I think we're at like 30, I'm at 32 states and like 10 countries. Right. And I'm so blessed by it. Helping people help themselves. And that is kind of the moment of like, I think it's working. I think it's happening. So
I was going to ask you too, just to kind of trace the geography of this journey, so to speak. I didn't know if you could speak to anything just as far as when this, I don't know if I would call it making a decision or a choice. Maybe this is, what you found yourself doing and working with people. I don't know exactly how that all, I mean, I get some sense of that, but I'm wondering what that was like for you to start your own business and begin to actually work with people in an area that you had not before.
Totally. Well, and one thing that now a lot of the times I forget the work that I do. First off, being an entrepreneur, the percentage of entrepreneurs that actually make it past 2 years is, what did they say, less than 10%, right? It's a tiny. And then also, there's a lot of studies that show the amount of people that genuinely wake up every day and are happy and connected and have a safe space to be able to live from. That is also a tiny, minuscule amount of people. And I forget that that is, I worked very hard, but I'm also very grateful that that's my life, that I have both. And to be able to rewrite, to me, success is. Honestly, it's sleepy mornings and it's inner peace and it's operating from a flow state. And for a long time, that wasn't true. If you had asked me, I would have been like, it's this many clients and this much money and this website and these many, retreats or, a full calendar or whatever. And not that those things aren't happening for me, but to shift my perspective as allowing success be external things to be the byproduct. Not the goal. Like that to me is really big. And to help people shift, so many of us, I talk to so many clients and they want to be in a relationship or to pay off debt or to get a better job, right? Or and not that those things aren't great, but those are things all outside of ourselves. And it's like, no wonder no wonder Hannah, 5 years ago was anxious and overwhelmed because everything that she was calling success was outside of herself. And so just learning how to have success be internal and to be able to help other people from that place and help themselves, like that is really just in the last couple of years, mostly the work that I do. And so grateful to be able to do it.
Yeah, that I really do. That is beautiful. I really honor that. And I was going to ask you as well, what is it like for you when you are working with people and you see, that they see the things open up, the heart opens a little bit. They have that realization. I don't know if it's sudden or gradual, that it is really inside and that it's not all out there, but it's actually in here. Just anything that you might speak to as far as what that's been like for you to witness people having those aha moments.
Absolutely. Well, and to give a little context, so the word somatics, the best way that I like to describe it is that it's an umbrella. And so somatics is a big umbrella term, and the root word soma, it's Latin for of the body. And so somatics is just a general term for dancing, for yelling, for kicking, for experiencing sensation in your body. And emotions are just energy in motion. And we forget collectively, we forget that we are spirits having a human experience. And so much of our life and everything that we experience, the emotions get stuck in our bodies. And most of us live outside of our body and our head, right? Whenever we feel like we're all disconnected or really disassociated, or some of us do a great job of living in our head, right? We're gonna like logically think our way through something and just kind of get in those mental spirals. But using somatics, for me, it was dance, and then it was breath work, and then it was yoga. And the way that I use somatics, so my background, I am a certified trauma-informed somatic facilitator. And what that means is whenever you come to me, we're not going to think so much about what are you thinking and what childhood trauma, where did that come from? Most of us have already done that in talk therapy, and we know we know exactly where it's coming from. But to be able to use the sensation, right? When we get anxious or we feel anxiety, that tightness in our chest, can we sit with that sensation? Can we check in with our bodies and allow ourselves to genuinely experience the fear, the anger, the grief, the sadness in a safe container? And maybe even probably for the first time, connect or have a conversation to that part of us that is experiencing that sensation. Because it's not what are you thinking? It's not what are you feeling? It's the sensation itself. And what we're doing is we are deactivating like the emotional, like psychological, or excuse me, physiological response, right? When we hear the word triggered, most of us feel the anxiety and you're like, oh, I'm going to distract myself on Instagram, or I'm going to just avoid it, or I'm going to just deny, or I'm going to suppress. And the work that I do teaches you those coping strategies. They're trying to keep you safe. And so if we can just sit with the anxiety and notice that it's prickly and then it's heavy and it feels my shoulders get so tight just saying it, and I'm going to just breathe and I'm going to just witness it, and I'm not going to judge myself for having anxiety or say that I'm bad. I'm just going to notice it. I'm not going to say every single time it will go away, but a lot of EFT emotional freedom techniques like somatics have been clinically proven, scientifically proven to dissipate that energy and motion, that and the emotion up to 5 times faster and more efficiently than just talking about it. Because the talking keeps you in your conscious mind, and somatics allows you to drop into your subconscious, your body, all the trauma is stored. And so most of my clients, they'll come to me and they'll shot they're, I had a client, she worked through some really big T trauma last week in our session, and to come out of the session no longer feeling activated by a very, very painful memory, and to come out of the session being like, actually, I'm really proud of myself. I'm actually really brave, and I know exactly what that part of me needs the next time I feel anxious and overwhelmed. Oh, like what? Like those types of realizations, that is what a lot of my clients are experiencing through using body-based systems like somatics.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you as well, do you, and this is actually for you also, as you have continued this this work yourself and sharing this with others, are you finding that sometimes there's some surprises? I was actually going to ask you, I was originally the way this question was forming, I was just letting it form on its own. But I was going to ask you, what this has been like for you to see your own evolution and your own transformation. But what I was going to ask, kind of along those lines, is what it is like when you suddenly see that the that it becomes more the focus becomes more clear when you're sitting across the room from someone or across the table or on a mat next to somebody, and they start to recognize someone that they've been all along, but that they didn't necessarily know or weren't acquainted with. And I didn't know if there's any aspect of that in your own life journey.
Well, and I think it's so beautiful. I think collectively, in the last definitely 10, maybe 20 years, I think we have stopped going to therapy when things are falling apart. And we're starting to be a little bit more proactive and be like, hey, I'm noticing this pattern and this habit, and it's not serving me. So I'm going to do something about it. And I was reading a book from Atlas of the Heart by Brené Brown. And she just talks around how therapy has saved all of our lives consciously and collectively, and how just no longer having a stigma around talking about mental health, how impactful that is. And that makes so much space for people like me to be able to come in and support that vision of helping and getting more tools and more self-awareness. And I've stopped seeing this as a journey with a destination, but it's more so just part of this human experience and why we are all here. And one thing I have really been learning from a lot lately, I'm sure you've heard the term like people mirroring, or these are mirrors, or these this person is mirroring back to you. And I was explaining to a client last week how I used to have to learn lessons with people who didn't respect me and didn't love me and didn't trust me and didn't have my best interest at heart. And it royally sucked like for a long time. It was not fun at all. But those people and those situations were just mirroring back to me how I actually felt about myself. Because I didn't love myself and I didn't respect I didn't know how to do those things. And so now, which I am not healed, I am still growing and I am still learning and I am still, but I'm at least having experiences in life with clients, with my partner, with my family, with my community, with people that love me, respect me, communicate clearly and effectively, and ask for what they need and show up for me. But that's only because I have spent the time and the energy and made substantial investments in myself to do that for myself first.
Yeah, that is saying so much. That's incredibly powerful. I'm taking a minute and just letting that speak.
Totally, yeah. It's simple. It's so simple, but that does not mean that it's easy.
Have been there, have done that, and still doing it. So yeah, I love how you said that. It's, I don't know. At some point, the idea of a destination has just kind of vanished and vaporized, and there's not really any here or there. It's just, well, I guess there's the here, but yeah,
Right.
there doesn't seem like there's any there, so to speak.
Absolutely. Well, and I for you know they say the book I was reading by Brené Brown was a saying that one in three Americans will experience or be diagnosed with some anxiety disorder in their lifetime. And I've just been thinking the last couple of days, like, man, one in three that will get diagnosed. So there's probably even more, just generalizing here, that are experiencing the sensation of anxiety at some point in their lives. That's a substantial amount of people struggling. And to, for me, the why I do the work that I do, because it can be volatile, it can be a little unstable, a little unpredictable sometimes. But I do it because to learn how to nourish that part of you that is having anxiety. And again, I know that there are different types of anxiety, and I'm not here to diagnose anybody, but I was experiencing anxiety as a byproduct of me not trusting myself or learning how to love myself and support myself. And so, if I could potentially teach or help someone else having a similar experience, that is the goal. That is the work. That is the journey. And what makes, conversations like what you and I are having so powerful is showing up authentically and hopefully encouraging someone else. There's a poem I'll share. I won't read the whole thing, but not Brené Brown, Merriam-Webster. It's called Our Deepest Fear, and she talks at the very end just about whenever we get to shine our light authentically, we are unknowingly giving other people permission to do the same. And so learning how to shine our light like authentically, and especially shine our light back to the parts of ourselves that we might have neglected or abandoned for a very long time.
Yeah, that is deeply moving. Thank you. I am definitely glad you shared that. And it, I don't know. I've often, and I've spoken with people about this, and in the past, probably many times. Now that I think about it, but it's this whole idea of it's always been fascinating to me to see people become adults and suddenly find themselves in a place where there is, and sometimes maybe it starts with questioning, maybe sometimes it starts with feeling like everything is just kind of turned upside down. I know there's a lot of different ways in which this what's the word unfolds, so to speak. But what I think I've always wondered, what would it be like if, and I think what I that for lack of a better term, conscious education. And I know there's some books out. I don't know that there's a lot of groups doing this, but actually raising children in the in consciousness, in basically equipping kids with the tools of what you're speaking of what you work with clients, if
Absolutely.
that makes sense.
Totally, totally. And it's really beautiful. My partner has a 7-year-old, and one of my dearest girlfriends, she has, a baby that's about 1.5 years. And being around these kids that are in containers that are so self-aware, and we are asking these kids their opinions instead of telling them what to do, or like it's such a juxtaposition. And when I talk to my parents about how their parents parented them, it's even more of it. And so it gives me a lot of, I feel a lot of optimism for the generations to come, that they might not have to spend so much of their time and energy, just raking through or clearing out some of the things that we call norm. Just because it's common doesn't mean it's normal. Like, just because everyone is happening, it doesn't mean it has to be normalized. And knowing that this younger generation might not have to have such a weight of guilt or feeling bad, I'm hopeful.
Yes, absolutely. And to me, it's always beautiful to think about who we actually find ourselves to be, who we find out that we're actually not, that we thought that we were. That's where it seems like the magic happens. But I know it's not as simple as that, right? It's not just there's no book that can suddenly, okay, how to figure out who you are and who you're not in 30 days or less, or
Right.
that there's no way to engineer this process. I don't, it just doesn't seem to me, but I'm open to being wrong.
Right. Well, and it's actually the conversation that you and I are having. I have these types of conversations with my parents all of the time, because as we go through our own journeys, I think we can see how much of an impact our childhoods make on us. And I've had some prickly conversations with my parents where I knew they were doing the best that they could, and what my parents were able to accomplish and overcome at now as an adult is, I'm just so surprised, so impressed, and so grateful. And also, there were things I experienced that were kind of traumatic. So it's like allowing both of those experiences to exist and also not necessarily needing an apology, but to potentially just validate an experience that I was having and validating the experience my parents were having, allowing both of those truths or experiences to just have space and exist. Without having to, I'm right, he's wrong, he's right, she's wrong, those types of conversations. I was talking to one of my parents and explaining to them the difference of, having support and validation now as an adult, what that could look like. And then also asking them, how can I validate you? How can I support you? How are those different? How are those the same? Those are types of conversations that I was certainly not having, 5 years ago with my parents or loved ones, at all. Not even close, Jeff.
Yeah, is it is this has this been a may this may be a silly question. Has this been a surprise for you to find that you can actually feel this joy and be open to, not having necessarily all the answers and just flowing with things when you are not wrapped up in any thoughts or notions about who you are?
Well, what's so interesting, Jeff, I didn't know. I think I said this to my partner the other day. I texted him and I said, I'm so grateful to wake up feeling rooted in happiness and inner peace and joy and freedom. Like, because I remember waking up thinking, well, just one of those four, just experiencing that a little bit would be
Yeah.
fantastic. Like, I didn't even know you could do all four as your baseline because my nervous system was not wired that way. And so to now, have done some work and to operate from those places, anything that takes me out of that place, that stability, that baseline of inner peace, immediately it's a no. It's a hard no, to where, a few years ago, I didn't even know that you could have it. So now that I have it,
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this helps me learn any other action, or any other belief or even a thought. I always thought for the longest time, because I'm thinking it must be true. And now I'm like, oh, that doesn't actually align with my beliefs and my values and my principles. So I'll, yeah, thanks, brain, for that thought, but I'm not gonna, assume it's true. That's huge. I mean, that a complete that is a 180 in my life for sure.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm wondering too, and I know you have spoken about some of this already, and so I'm totally open to the possibility that there may or may not be anything else that you would have to share. Just anything that you might speak to as far as anything that you've learned about yourself that's been a surprise. If I could also ask you in addition to that, what the most formative lessons that you've learned, if you haven't spoken about that already. I just wanted to kind of leave that door open.
Totally. One of the biggest things I love to talk. I love to connect. I love to listen. And as someone who, got written on her report card, Hannah likes to talk, or got in trouble for talking at school, or I vividly remember having, as a punishment, having to write, I will not talk out of turn. I will not talk out of turn. And I'm now realizing, one, I'm a little more introverted than I think I had ever really understood. But knowing that whenever I do share, that we all have wisdom within ourselves. And to me, to share, I call it the transmission of my soul, or the wisdom of my intuition, that I cannot allow, some bitter teacher in middle school from, years ago, that experience to diminish what really feels like a gift to be able to share and to express through my words and written word. Learning that about myself and unshaming that part of me, that's been such a blessing. And I think we all have different gifts and talents, and anything that feels shameful is typically conditioned, right? It's something that maybe inherently has nothing bad or wrong or negative associated to it, just a lot of programming and conditioning. And anytime the word should happens, that is synonymous to shame, in my opinion, and to just unshame those parts of ourselves so we can allow that wisdom within to come out. It goes back to that poem, right? Like living authentically so you can inspire others to do the same. That's what I've learned about myself and choose every day to really share from that place.
Yeah, that's I do deeply honor that, and I am so incredibly appreciative for everything that you've shared. I think I may be at the point where I don't know that there's any necessarily any other questions coming up, but what I did want to do is to give you a little bit of time and space if there's anything that I didn't ask or I started to say should have asked, but I need to remove that from my vocabulary. See, there, that's the programming, right? That's the
Totally.
programming. Anything I should
Totally.
have asked. But anything that did not get asked, maybe I'll just take myself out of that equation entirely. I want to be responsible and be accountable, but at the same time, just being open to this being a process that isn't as much about me or us as I think that it is, because I know there's so much more going on. I know I'm being very circular. Sorry.
No, don't apologize. I think one
Yeah.
of, when I was prepping for this, I was trying to think of like, what's the most common thing or what's a struggle or something that I hear people talk a lot about them wrestling with? And I lately have just been hearing so much around imposter syndrome. And if it feels good to you, I would love to just spend maybe a couple of minutes unpacking what imposter syndrome is, and then
Sure.
also how people could potentially some really practical steps on how they can just begin to break down or unwind that coping skill of imposter syndrome. Is that
Sure.
okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. So imposter syndrome essentially is the fear that we are a fraud or doubting our ability or feeling incapable or feeling like an imposter. And for me, it is like that nagging, judgmental inner critic. And her voice is so strong at some times. And I think we all struggle with imposter syndrome. I mean, Jeff, have you ever struggled with feeling it like an imposter?
I probably have done that today. So yeah, not probably. I have today. Yes, I certainly
Totally.
have. Yeah.
Totally. And
Yeah.
I think so many of us don't realize that imposter syndrome, that sensation, it's a coping skill. And we do it to try to keep ourselves sometimes in control, but really to keep ourselves safe. Right.
Yeah.
And many of us want to feel ready. We want to feel equipped. We want to feel prepared. Right. And that the feeling of being ready, some of us wait our entire lifetime to feel ready or to
Yes,
not feel
yes.
those intrusive thoughts or thinking, oh, if I just get another, for me, it would be like, oh, if I just get another client or get another certification or make more money, then I will really be a somatic mentor or whatever it is.
Yes, yes.
But sometimes that day of feeling ready, it might not ever come. And wasting, I think time and energy are the only two finite resources that we can never get back. So wasting those, waiting to be ready, I tell people all the time, we might be here a while. Like we might be waiting around.
Yeah.
And so a couple of my favorite resources or tools or tips or tricks or practices, rituals, to begin to break down that wall, that coping skill of imposter syndrome. The number one, my favorite, is just awareness. And so by bringing awareness to the sensation when you're noticing that intrusive thought, taking a second and bringing the awareness from the thought into the body. And just noticing, does it have a color? Does it have a texture? When you feel that imposter syndrome, how does it show up in your body? That we could just like shut the laptop right now and just end scene, and that would be like awareness. That
You see, that is it. Yes, that is
is
it.
my little
Yes,
12-week
yes.
program in 2 minutes. So there you go.
Wow. Wow. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
awareness is one. And then the second one that I will say is it is totally normal to feel imposter syndrome. We all do it. We all have it. So sharing that with someone that you trust, what that will help with is perspective. They say you can't see what it's like to forest through the trees or something like that. Like when you're
Yes.
struggling with
Oh,
something
yeah.
and it is all in your head and you can't seem to dig out of it, if you can have someone that you really trust, you can get some perspective and also maybe even challenge or get curious around that irrational belief. And the last thing I'll say is when we do get to share with people, we feel less alone. And it is totally normal to have imposter syndrome or to experience it. And if we can just notice it and share how we're feeling, that's unshaming the experience. And that is helping us feel so much more comfortable and supported, because we get to understand ourselves better in a way that feels safe. And we also get to deserve to understand the underlying emotional issue and then develop some nourishing coping strategies instead of the self-sabotaging patterns that we've been trying to use to keep ourselves safe.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm just going to take a moment and just breathe with that one. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. You were speaking about something about preparing, and that's one of the things I get this question fairly often. How do I prepare for this? And I used to prepare for this until I woke up one day and recognized I was so busy preparing for these conversations that I wasn't really here having them. I was kind of like acting on a blueprint or a map or an outline. And so what I want to honor you for being here today is that I don't know if it's possible. I mean, and there again, I don't want to speak in any absolutes. I don't know if it's possible to prepare for these kinds of conversations. And I sense that you're here today and that you are just letting this, in as much I don't today is the first day I've met you, so I can only intuit that you showed up in the space and whatever flowed, it flowed how it was supposed to.
Absolutely. And I was writing that piece on imposter syndrome earlier today because I had probably about 10 people this last week say that word or in a session or in my DMs. And I'm like, oh, wow, I'm seeing a pattern here. And trying to, I used to make a lot of my decisions on emotion. And now, whenever I start to see some like logical patterns, I'm like, I think that there's something to this.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's one I'm gonna write down. Yeah, that's I could not think of a better way to end this conversation than what you just said. That is perfect. That is perfect. I was going to mention to you that I think I may have forgotten before I started recording that what I'd like to do, and I can get with you after this briefly, very briefly. And I'll make sure that if there's anything that you want to share that I can actually include with this when I publish it, so that if you want people to see, as far as connecting with you on your website, any social media addresses, and really anything that you feel that it would be nourishing for people to see if they want to, when they want to connect with you, I definitely will be glad to include this.
Absolutely. I love that. I'm all about making resources accessible and affordable. And I host a lot of in-person and online events locally in Tulsa, but then also Instagram is a huge platform that I leverage. And so just really resourcing people along their journey is something that I'm honored and so grateful to do.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're
I
welcome.
Hannah, I really do. I really value your willingness to do this today. Thank you for your time. And that
You're
is a
welcome.
gift. I realize, and you're right, that is finite, isn't it? We've only got so much of that.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time, Jeff.
Certainly. Thank you.